Wild at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yeah, Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The finished conspiracy.
Booga booga, i.e. poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 65 of Three in the Box, your winning on the road Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, March 15th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about bad calls from Toronto, more Dubnyk love, and bottom six production. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
So, how was your weekend, guys? I know, Kenny, you were in Chicago.
I was in Chicago, yeah.
In the Devil's Land.
Well, no, it was the Blackhawks' land. The Devils are in New Jersey.
Oh.
we didn't go quite
Satan's
that far.
Satan's Land.
Okay, maybe. In Chicago and the western suburbs of Chicago, Downers Grove and Aurora. But, yeah, it was a good time. Some pre-St. Patrick's Day shindigs. You know, running sound for...
I bet you didn't see a two-story boot, though, did you?
No. Did you see a two-story boot?
I did.
Where did you see a two-story boot?
Only in Red Wing, Minnesota
is
the world's largest boot.
It seems like every city is now trying to have the largest blank.
Something.
Although I got to say the largest boot is...
pretty damn unique.
That's one way to spin it.
It was a size 638 and a half.
And a half. Is that American or Euro?
That was the USA size.
So here, so Shaq could barely fit into those shoes.
Barely.
No, I did get to see the car from Wayne's World, though.
Hey. And in Aurora.
In Aurora.
Yeah.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, guys.
Was that a Pinto?
Yes.
No, it was a...
Gremlin. Yeah. Gremlin. Not the Pinto, the Gremlin.
The Gremlin.
Sorry. Yeah.
Pacer. It was a Pacer. It was AMC, so you're right there.
All right.
But it was a Pacer, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool.
And you also had to see the fire department with the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the we take babies.
In a follow-up to our previous.
It was a baby-safe drop-off zone is what it was. And right next to that sign was the tattered American flag drop-off that looked like a mailbox, but you can throw all your, tattered...
Your used flags.
Your used flags in there, which makes me wonder, what do they do with the used flags?
I thought you were just supposed to burn used flags.
That's what I thought, too.
Don't do it like at a protest, you know?
I think you're correct, but yeah. Once it's tattered or torn, you don't fly that thing.
And you don't let it touch the ground, right. So...
Yeah, interesting.
I didn't realize we had a big enough problem with disposing of flags where it necessitated a drop-off zone.
I don't know. This is just... It looks like a mailbox outside the fire department, so I don't know. Maybe it was just a thing in Aurora.
Wow, okay.
Because, I don't think I've noticed that anywhere else.
No.
I mean, I've seen used battery drop-offs at the fire department.
Where do you go to dispose of a flag, though? Most people probably don't know.
The fire department in Aurora?
Okay.
That's the
road trip.
That's the one spot in America.
Right.
Oh, man, this flag is really beat up. Well, I guess we're going to Illinois. Yep.
Wasn't there a Johnny Cash song or something about... some sort of tattered flag or something.
I don't know. He made 3,000 songs.
He just made a couple.
Just a few. I mean, I think he had three or four albums with just spirituals and gospels.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are totally off track here. And
that's all right.
We're only 4 minutes in. So, before we get into things, we'd just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. We're usually talking hockey, not talking about... used flags and Johnny Cash
and baby drop boxes.
Baby drop boxes.
No, it's not a baby drop box. I mean, the drop box has nothing to do with this. It's a drop off.
Oh, wait. Baby drop off. You don't drop the baby in the
drop box.
In the old flag box.
No.
Okay. All right. Let's get to it.
So, you know, I'm starting to feel like a broken record here, but the Wild keep on winning. They went 2-1 this week with a win at home against the Devils, followed up by a real tough loss against the Ducks. You know, we're
0-3 with the Ducks this season. Yeah, and I think that's the last time we play them in regulation.
And Dumba made a really bad move that basically turned it over and led to the game-winning goal. But then, you know, last night we won against St. Louis on the road.
One off.
It was the first regulation win for the Wild in St. Louis since 2007.
Wow.
That's a long... That's Lemaire days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all trap. Trap it like it's hot.
Right. You know, it could have been a very different outcome last night, though, as the much maligned Tim Peel, you know, failed to watch the puck as it didn't enter the net. And we started a really bizarre exchange with the refs on ice in Toronto, where first the goal was confirmed, and then upon second review, it was waved off. It was just a weird situation.
He on ice, he said it went in, then he waved it off, then it went to review. They said that it wasn't played with a high stick. And then right before the puck dropped, there was a double horn to get their attention.
And then, like, three more horns. It was like someone was very horny here. Like, you know?
And then they said, well, it doesn't matter if it's played with the high stick or not because the puck never went into the net.
And you know, and you know, with the angles we were provided on TV, it's understandable why most of us missed it at first, because we're looking for the high stick.
Oh, yeah. Everybody is focusing on that.
Yeah.
And after it hits the stick, you're like, oh, yeah, it wasn't above the waist. You're looking away from the play at that point, right. You know?
It's like, if you ever looked at, there's a video online where it's like, it's supposed to demonstrate how your ability to concentrate on a single object makes you miss very obvious things.
Is that the mm-hmm. bear going through, like, bouncing a ball? Or the gorilla.
Gorilla, yes. With a basketball, yeah. That's almost what it was like, you know? It's like, you're looking at the high stick, you're not looking at the puck and see if
a actually... A gorilla with a basketball?
Yes.
I don't think I've seen that.
I think if you search for gorilla basketball, you'll probably get it.
Yeah, okay. Now we kind of gave it away, but...
Right.
Although Jeff can't see anyway, so he might still miss right. it.
Hey.
But, you know, so we on TV, watching it on TV, it's very obvious why we missed it. But Tim Peel, he's sitting there right behind the net, and he misses it.
Although, the weird thing is watching those replays again, the skaters went after the puck behind the net. So obviously they caught that it didn't go in.
Well, no, right. But it never actually bounced off like the back wall or anything like
that. No, it didn't.
It still came to the side of the net. The net kind of made that plume, you know, that it makes
right
when a puck hits it.
But I mean, it seems like the only one in the arena who thought it was a goal was the whoever is in charge of the horn and
Tim Peel.
And Tim Peel, you know. They're the only ones who saw a goal there.
Who's the goal judge? Don't they have a goal judge behind the glass there? And
yeah, that's who set the light off.
So that's who called the goal.
Tim Peel called it and then waved it off.
Right.
Okay.
But the goal judge lit up the light.
Right. I mean,
and then Toronto still said it was good.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's even more mind-boggling is that.
But I suppose if they were just looking for the high stick too, that's all they were paying attention to. They weren't paying attention to whether the goal went in or not.
Well, I guess
went in.
Wait a minute. Before we get started on this topic, let's restart this show. Apparently, we've gone to a replay here, and the folks at home don't care. I'm just kidding. Continue on. Sorry.
Well, it actually makes me think of a really good question though. Is that you know. Maybe the NHL should actually look at all play scoring plays, not just the ones where they're like obvious.
So it becomes like an NFL game?
No.
Well, it's something that they can look at pretty quickly.
It is.
You know, while the team's celebrating and, you know, things are kind of...
Oh, and I'm sure that they do, because they're looking at it anyways to see who got the goal and who got the assist.
Right. I mean, but had they done that initially... It would have been a very short discussion. They would have not have been looking at the height of the stick as it was deflected, as the puck was deflected. It would have been, it didn't even go into net, so I don't even care where he hit the puck.
Well, the original angles that we were given, we didn't see it.
That's us, though. Toronto's got, I mean, if you look at their war room, I mean, they've got like a bazillion screens going on.
I wonder if it syncs them all at the same time. That'd be so awesome.
I'm sure it does. It's all coming off of probably SMPTE code. Sorry, that's way nerdier than what you needed.
Oh, nerds!
It was an interesting play. I don't know that I've ever seen two reviews on a single goal.
Well,
we're gonna review the review,
right?
Upon second review,
yeah, the PA announcer in St. Louis said that.
Second thought.
I mean, that was the really great thing is, you know, when they Peel goes out and he goes, upon further review, the puck never entered the net. It hit the side of the net. No goal. And then the crowd boos. Boo! How dare you?
Maybe they were saying, doobs.
No, not quite yet. How dare you take away that goal that never went in the net?
Yeah, but it was funny, though, when they initially called it a good goal, the look of, like, TJ Oshie in the Blues bench was like, okay, sure.
Hey, at that point, I mean, you take them when they come your way. Yeah. I mean, can't blame them for that. But
but even the high fives were like, okay, yeah, high five.
Woo! Hey, guys, guess what? We're just going to let this one slide quick.
Okay, let's go to the face-off. Come on.
Let's line up and let's have him drop this puck now.
So aside from that play, I mean, Dubnyk was basically standing on his head yesterday.
Fire,
I mean,
on fire.
He continues to impress as the Wild. I mean, they continued their late-season surge here, basically. And, I mean, Yo continues to show his faith in Dubnyk, and he keeps getting the starts. All three games last week, including, as you had mentioned there, the back-to-backs.
Yep.
Two very good teams, yeah. The Ducks and then the Blues. I mean, wow. But that said, I mean, we've probably beaten the horse that, you know, pulls the Dubnyk bandwagon to death. So, I mean, we obviously have the very solid goaltending that we're looking for as we, you know, try to move forward to the playoffs here. We've discussed that before, you know, how important, goaltending is to playoffs. But what else do you guys think the Wild are going to need besides, you know, I mean, Dubnyk can stand on his head all he wants, but, you know, we're going to have to put pucks in the goal and we're going to have people play well in front of him. You know, what else do you think that the Wild are going to need to do to continue their success into the last stretch of the season and into the playoffs?
Physicality. I think we saw it last year. Once playoffs come, it's a very bang around. You play the same team over and over and over again, and you start getting a rivalry built up with that team, and you get guys that are getting angry with each other, and you need some guys that can actually bounce some people around and throw some light around.
Yeah,
you know, I think they're going to need to score some goals in the power play on the road. They're still abysmal on the road in the power play. They've gotten better at home, but I mean the numbers
they're getting sick of getting booed at home.
but I think they're still like 28th overall. I mean, they've gotten better, but it's still not great. Power play wise, and on the road they're still really struggling, so they're going to need to turn that around, because, you know, if you get six power play opportunities in a game, you better be scoring some.
Well,
you know?
And as it sits right now, I mean, they're probably not going to have home ice advantage,
right,
for any playoff game as it's kind of looking
as it stands right now.
Yeah,
and I agree with you, Kenny, that we're going to need the physical play, but I'm going to have to probably, you know, go with what you say there, too, probably is the most important, is that we improve our power play. Special teams in general is a big part of especially playoff hockey, because you know, every little advantage that you get, you need to take advantage of that.
Well, the PK is doing great.
We are doing exactly. Yeah. We're doing great on the penalty kill right now. You know, knock on wood, I hope that, that all continues. I don't see that changing. I mean, we're pretty solid there, but
right.
We need to take advantage of the teams when given the man advantage. I mean, that is a huge part. But like you said too, though, Kenny, we need to make sure we can bring bring a physical brand of hockey. I agree.
But the thing is, this team isn't really built to be physical.
No.
You know, we still get pushed around. I know we added Stewart, and he's a little more of a physical guy. Yeah. I mean, he fought Clayton Stoner in the Ducks game, which was kind of fun to see because...
It's Clayton Stoner.
F. Stoner, right. You know.
Yeah.
You know, Coyle tries to get physical, but he's not... He's more like Koivu, and he doesn't really get involved that much.
Yeah.
I mean, you get Niederreiter, he gets a little hitty, and that's kind of
Brodziak will mash it up a little bit.
Brodziak, too, but it's like...
Same with Prosser.
But we don't have... we have a lot of guys that are skill guys that are basically unwilling to lay out a hit, and that, I don't think that's ever going to change. You know, the Granlunds of the world, where he'll... Or he might hit, but it's like... It's like, come on, you're not...
You piss him off, and he'll go after you.
But his hit is basically... you know, it's meaningless hit.
We saw Dumba throw out a big hit last night there against...
he's definitely shown his worth lately. Yeah. I mean, his plus minus is off the charts here over the last, you know, couple weeks.
No kidding.
And he's laying out big hits. He's getting...
Taking big shots.
You know, he got into Oshie's face.
Mm-hmm.
Same
game, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so he's not instigating, but he's
agitating a
little. Agitating, thank you. He's definitely making his presence known, and for
both ends of the ring.
Too. Yeah, yeah. His slappers are just insane. I mean, Dubnyk, I think they said in practice, took a couple up high, and his shoulders were hurting. and then Dumbo's like, well, I shouldn't have been shooting like that during practice. Right. And he's like, I apologized a bunch of times. And Dubnyk's like, yeah, he keeps on apologizing. He's like, it's not that big of a deal. Except for when my arm is sore, you know?
Except for when you can't play the next game.
Right.
You know, our top D, they're not very big either.
No.
You know, and we... And
Suter's not... He's not small, but he doesn't throw his weight around very much.
He does from time to time, yeah. But he's, you know, more so in the right place at the right time to prevent the puck from getting where it needs to go.
And really, in the end, that's what you need. You need a guy between the puck and the net.
Right.
Dubnyk.
The big hits, they're flashy. It looks good. It can get under the other guy's skin. But, you know... End of the day, you got to have people between the puck and the net. Otherwise,
right? If you're the game, it just goes. I mean, look at how little we won with Clutterbuck, and he's laying out hits left and right. Yeah. The problem is he's concentrating on taking the body, not concentrating on where the puck is.
Breaking the puck.
Well, and I'm not saying just for the hit's sake, but just physical, just more physicality. Because I mean. Even if you are just a skilled skater, I mean, you know what? The other team's not going to care, and they're not going to dance around you. They're going to try to lay you out.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though, is that I don't know that we, you know, Granlund's not going to get beefier. He can't, you know, nothing about his physical makeup is going to make him be able to take those hits better. Yeah. But you do make a good point in that that's going to be a concern, is that we're going to be facing a lot of tough teams coming up here.
Yeah.
And then assuming we get into the playoffs, that physical level is going to step up. And you know what? Being that we have a lot of smaller guys, skill guys that don't really do the hitting, I do worry about them being able to, last. You know,
because when you look at it, if you get hit good. Once, okay, twice, oh man, you're going to be looking out for that third time. You change.
Unless you're Prosser.
Right. But you change your play a little bit, you know. You know, watching your back, you know. You're not going into the corners as hard because, you know.
And if you don't, though, you're going to get hurt.
Down on you. Right. That's when people start to get hurt.
And that's I think that is a genuine concern is that being that this team isn't physical, and I don't think they're going to really change between now and playoff time.
While they're in the weight room every day.
You know, how they actually just released an app for the Wild in their exercise routines.
Oh, yeah?
Seriously?
Yeah. I just read about it on Russo today. So, but yeah, this team is going to be susceptible to injuries and what have you.
It happened last year. I mean, Coyle had two dislocated shoulders.
Right. I mean, the only upside is that we might potentially have, you know, Zucker and maybe Carter coming back and giving us a little depth there.
Yeah.
But that's a big if, you know.
So, yeah, and I mean, speaking of that, I mean, lots of players, they've been contributing to the Wild success recently. Even some of the youngsters like Fontaine, and we mentioned Dumba here before. I mean, those guys have been stepping up big for some of these injuries that we've been having. The Wild have also gone out here prior to the trade deadline or during the trade deadline there, basically. They brought in Dubnyk. I don't need to say any more about that, I don't think. We've got Bergenheim, Leopold now, and Stewart. I mean, they came in, you know, to kind of solidify things up, you know, because obviously we were hurting there with some injuries and stuff like that. But so, I mean, we've got Stewart. He's come in. He's had a couple of goals, assists. I think he's a plus two or something, maybe.
Four games, 4 points, I think, is what it is. So.
Yeah, so, and he's also had some penalty minutes. You mentioned taking on Stoner, and I can't remember who. I think he had a fight against somebody else before that, too. So, and then you got Bergenheim, though. He's come in. He's only tallied one assist. He's a minus two. So, I mean, besides Dubnyk, obviously, which one of the other recent additions do you think is the most, you know, the biggest contributing factor as of, you know, recently since the deadline?
Well, I think of those three, Bergenheim, Leopold, and Stewart, it's hard to argue with, against Stewart's accomplishments in this short time.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, actually, I've been pretty impressed with Leopold.
Mm-hmm.
He's always coming in. He had a rep of being kind of sloppy defensively,
mm-hmm.
Being more of an offensive defenseman.
Yeah.
But I feel he's been actually pretty solid defensively. He's made a few moves where he's at the right place, at the right time, and got the buck out of there.
And you're glad he was there.
And you're glad, yeah. And so I've been pretty happy with him. Bergenheim is. He's bottom six, so he's not getting many minutes.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little too soon to judge on him.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the fact that Bergenheim isn't afraid to get a little physical. And he does, and he's a slippery guy, and he gets into spots where he probably doesn't deserve to be in, you know.
Yep.
And actually, him just being kind of in the area of last night's game. He was basically a contributor to the turnover that Tereschenko made that Brodziak capitalized on and tossed that backhander, and that was Bergenheim basically being in there and
forechecking. And that's the thing is, you know, the stats that you see are one thing, but sometimes you just don't see in the stats what actually happened on the ice. Like, I think it was even a couple games ago where Parisi was part of a like getting the puck turned over and he didn't get the assist on the goal even, and I mean it happens to the best of them and
right,
you know, so yeah, stats don't say everything. I can't say, and like you say, I mean he's probably been on the, you know, the bottom line, so
yeah.
He hasn't been seeing as much time, maybe, but That said, I also haven't noticed him that much.
Right.
Stewart's obviously made his presence known on the score sheet and you know, bringing a little bit of grit to the game.
Right.
But yeah, I was actually going to bring up basically the same point as you, is that Leopold is, you know, actually, I mean, he comes in and he's a solid defenseman, basically. He comes in as a veteran. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been around the block about 10 times. I can't remember how many different teams he's been to, but I mean, you know, but yeah, he comes in and that's like the solid addition I think that the defensive core would need to.
Does he stay next year?
Leopold.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, it's a great hometown story.
Along I don't, with how I many don't, other WCHA but, players but, that we have.
Right, but I don't know if by this time next year if there's that place for him. I mean, we aren't super deep as far as defensively.
Right.
I don't know that, I mean, at this point but in his career, he's probably not looking to, you know, go back and forth.
He's not going to be a he's not going to want to be a depth guy.
Right.
He's going to want at least an assurance that he's going to play every day.
Right.
And, you know, basically, you got Scandella, Spurgeon, Suter, Brodin. There's your top
That's
four
right
there.
That's pretty solid top four.
And right? Dumba is making his presence known.
Yep.
The only way that it changes is if Prosser, depending on what happens with Prosser.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm not certain, you know.
Right.
Well, you know, since we're actually talking about, you know, Bergenheim being on a bottom six role, one of the bright spots over the last couple of weeks has actually been our bottom six forwards. And, you know, they've been making quite an impact to keep this team into games.
Yeah.
Over the last four games, they've combined for 6 goals and 9 goals over the last 8. And especially considering our team doesn't score a ton of goals, that's a pretty significant number. Surprisingly, though, Vanek is, or as LaPanta said, Tom Vanek, Tony Pants.
Tony Pants.
Thomas Vanek, he accounts for most of those goals. He's got 4 goals in the last 8 games, I think.
Not bad.
And you know, and I know we dog on him for being slow and sometimes looking like he doesn't have his head in the game. He looks disinterested. You know, but he's third on the team in points. Likewise, Brodziak has been scoring, and you know, as we've mentioned, he's been really great on the power penalty kill. Have we been too tough on them?
No, I don't think so. I mean, well, maybe a little bit, but I mean, you know, you see the same guys making the same mistakes over and over again. I mean, it's kind of
that. I mean, that's. It's really no different, you know. Pominville's passing this year has been putrid. He's turned around scoring wise a little bit lately. He's not everything's not going wide, but you could probably actually group Pominville in there. Brodziak, he can't score on a breakaway to save his life.
No, but apparently he can score with an interception.
Right, and then Vanek is the one that's that just is bizarre because you know. We know he can score. We know he can be involved, but sometimes he's just the slowness and well, the.
And I mean, it comes down to a chemistry thing sometimes too. I mean, you put two guys together here, and you put two guys together here. You know, if you take the first two and they're like both like Wayne Gretzky, and you put them together. And you take the other two, and they're both Clutterbuck, and you put them together. You might end up with better results with the two Clutterbucks just because they work together better than the two Gretzkys that got big heads and don't want to play with anybody else. They just want the puck, you know?
Yeah.
that said, I don't know. I don't see like a sharing problem going on, but you know, sometimes you just don't feel the other guys. You don't, I mean, there's a certain aspect of the game where, you know, you just know where your teammates are. You know, right. you don't have to be looking in their direction. I can just know that, you know, player A is over here and I know player B is back here and I can see out of the corner of my eye somebody's between me and player A, and so I'm going to drop it back to player B, you know. And you know.
But I think a bigger thing is that you look at Vanek and his hustle on the ice.
Yeah.
And you compare that to, you know, what I would say is probably the grade A hustler on our team is Parisi.
That's the epitome of hustle. Right. That dude works hard, man.
Right. But I think it even rubs off, because, I mean, you look at, you know, Granlund. Granlund has that same sort of kind of hustle.
Yeah.
And you just don't see that.
That's why they're also top-line guys, too.
True. And you know, Vanek did take a pay cut to come here, because he probably could have signed for more elsewhere. But he's and maybe it's just a matter of he's just a different player, and that the hustle isn't something that he does. But it makes it damn frustrating to watch.
Well, I mean, looking at numbers right now, so he's making $100,000 more a year than Koivu. He's got 44 points. Koivu's got 41 points. Pommaville's making $500,000 more than Vanek, and he's got 47 points. I mean, with what these guys are making, I mean, I guess averaging out on the team, they're all kind of on pace for where they should be.
Pommaville's got way more points, though.
Pommaville's got 47 points.
So wait a minute. Right. So what you're saying is I can make $100,000 per point? About that?
Yeah.
No.
If you're Pommaville.
If you're Pommaville.
But see, the thing is that Koivu, you're measuring Koivu and Vanek together, and we know Koivu is more defensive. Vanek is not defensive at all.
Yes, it's true.
And that's, you know, that's another, going back to Jive and you're talking about stats don't mean, aren't the be all end all.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it goes back to that where you don't necessarily see Koivu's defensive presence in the stat sheet.
Yeah.
And likewise, you don't see Vanek's negative impact.
The person who truly gets to figure out how to statistically record like defensive statistics, not the plus minus. The plus minus,
well, that'd be like the accuracy or the
is kind of a, you know, bull call. But I mean, and what does that? That's, I don't know what that it uses in its equation. But
I don't. But, it has to do with the amount of shots taken, the amount of shots that get through, the amount of shots that were blocked, the amount of shots that were missed. I think the Corsi is from a shooter's perspective.
Right.
And then whatever, I forget the name of the other stat, is more from a defensive position.
Yeah.
But and it's still a tough thing to accurately gauge. Yeah.
You know, as far as him being down on the bottom, though, I see the bottom line's getting almost as much time as, you know, like the second line.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're putting up more bigger numbers than what the second line is doing right now, too.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, does it really matter what line you're on as long as you're producing and you're getting almost equal ice time?
But actually, now that we're talking about that, you know, over the last 8 games, every forward has scored a goal. Except for Koivu.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that just goes to show that how spread out the production has actually been.
And that's a good thing, you know? I mean, spreading it out around, that's what we want. We want it to come from anywhere, not just one spot. Because then they put out their top line against our top line, and you can call it a day.
Right.
But, yeah. So.
All right, so going on to some upcoming stuff, particularly playoffs.
Playoffs?
Potential playoffs.
Really? Somebody's going to the playoffs?
Not much has really changed.
As far as ranking
with the Wild goes, I know there's been some change in the the Pacific Conference or Pacific Division. Currently, though, the Wild are ahead of the Jets by 3 points, still 5 points behind the Hawks, and they are actually have more points than any of the other potential wild card teams from the Pacific Division, too. So, you know, this past week, the Wild had faced two potential first-round matchups in back-to-back games, actually, and then they play another one on Tuesday. So, come first round, who would you rather see, Ducks, Blues, or Preds? Predators.
At this point, I would love to see the Predators. I don't know that, or I don't think that the Predators will continue the way that they've been playing probably over the last couple weeks. But at this point, I would like to see the Predators.
I mean, we still have two games against the Predators and two games against the Blues yet this season. Mm-hmm. Ducks we're done with. Ducks swept us.
And the Ducks are the team that I definitely do not want to see in that first round of the playoffs.
And that's a funny thing is that, you know, you look online, if you go to the Wild subreddit for, when they're bringing up the same question, people are like, I'd rather face the Ducks.
Why? The Ducks have killed us in the playoffs every time.
And it seems like regardless of how well we match up against them, they find a way. Perry is always up in us and getting involved in stuff. I just don't like it. I don't like the Ducks. The Ducks scare me, you know.
You heard it here first.
Even though Chicago, even though Chicago knocked out the Wild 2 years in a row, I would rather face Chicago first round, knowing that there's at least somewhat of a chance in Ducks first round, and just basically counting it as being gone.
And that said, I think at this point right now, if we played Chicago or if we played St. Louis, I would love those as first series just because of not that they would be our easiest opponent to that we would be most likely to get by, but I could see either of those series getting, you know, very physical and being very close and just being a great series to watch.
So. Well, I know, we do have the Blackhawks one more time yet this year. Actually, the last three games are road games against Blackhawks, Predators, and the Blues. So that could be quite ugly. Yeah, the rest of the schedule is just ugly.
Well, but in the way the Predators have been playing since we beat them.
That was a six-game losing streak?
Yeah, they had a six-game losing streak that we started, including more home losses for them. They're reeling right now. So it'd be very easy for us to say, yeah, let's face them. I mean,
but hopefully when we face them again here, they don't return the favor. Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's another thing is that, if they're losing, that means they're also dropping in the rankings.
All right.
And, you know, if they drop to third seed overall,
they're going to start to get desperate.
Well, we're not going to face them. I mean, it's going to be very tough for us to get. I mean, while our wild card spot is looking pretty safe, it's just as safe as the gap between us and the next number nine is, I think, actually smaller than the gap between us and third in the division.
Right now we're third in the Central. We're looking at needing to get 5 points on Chicago, and it's going to take a miracle for us to get 5 points. I mean, it's like if we start winning, Chicago's winning.
And that's the way
Chicago loses the game, and all of a sudden we got a couple of points we can make up. No, we lose a game.
Well, that's the way the West has been. Is like we're winning all these games, but so everyone else is winning too, and that's why we haven't pulled away at all, because that we had such a huge hole to dig out of.
Because right now St. Louis
dug a big hole.
Nashville and Anaheim are all sitting at 93 points. St. Louis has a game in hand on both Anaheim and Nashville, but. They're all going to be real, real tough teams to beat. So, all right. So that brings us up to who do we have to beat this week? And it continues another tough week, though. Tuesday, as we kind of alluded to, we're back to Nashville. Then we have a two-game homestand against the Capitals on Thursday, and then we see the Blues again on Saturday. So with a potential 6 points on the line this week, how many do they get against three tough teams? Bueller?
I guess this week, what I would hope to come out with would be, you know, at least 3 points. Because basically the way I see it is, even if we ride a 500 record here through the end of the season, we'll be in the playoffs.
Right.
So I guess, I mean, I hope that, you know, we at least get a win and, like, even an overtime loss or an overtime win would be great. I mean, we got – it's a tough road ahead. We know this. So I don't expect the moon. I don't expect us to get all 6 points. If we do, thank you, Doom. But, you know, I'd be happy with 3 points.
Three or four, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way things have been going lately, you know. If we can get two wins and a loss, you know, 4 points,
yeah,
we're sitting all right. So,
awesome.
All right. So, game of the week.
Game of the week.
So last week, as it's been lately, I got to choose the game of the week. I chose Wild at Blues, and only one person picked the Wild to win, and that was Kenny, and he actually picked it right on the spot for four goals total, meaning he moves 2 points ahead of Jive.
Wow.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby.
14 points on the season. Jive's at 12. I'm at 7. I'm a ways behind here. So since I'm still far behind, I'm going to choose the game of the week. And this week I'm choosing Wild at Predators. And we'll start with Kenny.
You know, it's a tough one. I am going to go with the Wild winning, and I am going to stick with my 4 goals, I believe. I think I'm going to do.
Jeff?
Sticking with the 4 goals. I'm going to go with 5 goals, and I'll go with the Wild winning this one as well. I don't know. I mean, the Predators haven't lost very much on their home ice. The Wild did manage to do it once, you know, just a week or so ago there. I'm hoping they can do it again. I'm going with my heart here, though, so I'm going with the Wild and 5 goals.
And see, my hand is forced. I'm a ways behind, so I need to make up points. So I'm going to go with the Predators winning. I'm going to go with 5 goals. That's a nice save number.
So that's who you're picking for game of the week. Who do you actually think is going to win?
You know, I think it's actually going to be a pretty close toss-up. You know, Predators have won 2 of the last 3 games, so they've ended their losing streak. Maybe they've righted the ship. I don't know. I think it actually will be a really close game. Yeah. I don't know that the Predators will win or the Wild. I don't think either of them are sure shots, that's for sure. Yeah.
All right.
So I think we got ourselves a show here.
Yeah.
Or something closely resembling a show.
Yeah. We'll leave that to the listeners to decide.
Right. You know, well, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron3ITB, where I tweet about beer, hockey, music, pinball, and other sort of stuff. Kenny.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, you know, retweeting audio stuff, some photos of, you know, live photos of live music and stuff. Yeah, it's been a long week.
Words are hard.
Words are... My Polish has been acting up all week.
You're a big boy, use your big boy words.
Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Peace out.
Hello!